1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Market Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Marcus Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at marcustheaters.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Broadcast legend, sports legend, whatever you want. Pick one. Brent Musburger. Good morning. Good afternoon, Brent. Excuse me.
Good afternoon. I'm looking at the board here at Circa. 11.5, UConn. 9, Purdue.
Honestly, Brent, you don't know
he's getting that seat warm for me, guys. I got to head in there in a couple hours.
Absolutely.
You do not know how cool that is to have on a show that we're on to hear you say that. Welcome to the show. It is a privilege to have you here.
It's a privilege for me to talk to you guys. You know, listen, this is the first time I can really remember, the men's Final Four on Saturday, but people are talking and betting the women's Final Four today. How about that?
I tell you what, we all watched those games the other night, and those games more than delivered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Caitlin Clark, I was watching with my wife, and she is unbelievable. Those threes. You know, I thought I was watching the Golden State Warriors, you know?
Okay, of all of us sitting here right now, Tim is, I'll say it, the best ball player. Mm-hmm. Right, Tim?
Hopefully.
You are.
You guys are in your 60s, so I hope I am.
I've never seen Brent play, but, you know, I'm just going to go,
sure.
Tim is the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tim's a guy, but I got the kind of butt that I could rebound. Block out. You know that Buffalo Wild Wing dad, I think it's about me.
Brent, how much fun would you have calling DJ Burns, the big fellow from NC State right now?
Let me talk about DJ Burns. In November, they came in here, and they played BYU. And I took my grandson. He'd never seen a big-time college game. It was down at Mandalay Bay. We went and saw it. They could not keep Burns on the floor longer than 2 minutes because he was that out of shape.
Really?
I left the building and I said, you know, North Carolina State's going to have a new coach next year. That's an awful, awful team. And then they come down the stretch. Burns gets in shape, and he was so much fun to watch. Now, listen, he's a lot shorter than Edie. I was talking to some Purdue people yesterday back in Chicago. And they said, you know, Edie will just have to stick his hand. I was thinking that maybe Burns could get him into foul trouble. And the Purdue people told me that's going to happen, Brent, because all Edie's going to do is stick his hands up in the air, not going to move to body him or anything. So it'll be size against size. But I find myself pulling for North Carolina State. Back in 83, the Final Four, that was down in Albuquerque. And, of course, that the great scene with the late Jim Valvano was a great friend. And Jimmy, at the end of the game, you all see that he's running around the floor. Well, the next thing I knew, I was the host. He's sitting in a chair next to me. I said, Jim, what the hell are you doing here? He said, I didn't know where to go, bro. I didn't know where to go. Great, great fun. So I'm happy for North Carolina State. I'm happy for all four teams. I think it's a terrific Final Four. And can you believe that UConn men and women are in the Final Fours. I mean, what an accomplishment. And oh, by the way, if anybody can defend Caitlin, it's going to be Coach Gino up at UConn, big-time in-game coach. So I'm really looking forward to that game today.
That's going to be an interesting one tonight. Exactly. When did you step out of the booth, Brett? Brent?
I don't know. When did Brian stick a gun to my head and say I had to come to VSIN? Was that 7 years ago?
Let's go to the other, not to the end of, beginning. Some of the older folks here on the panel remember this legendary coach and a great quarterback and a great team in Green Bay. You were teamed up with Bart Starr like your first year in the CBS booth?
I worked a couple of games with Bart, but I wasn't necessarily teamed up with him. I mean, hey, listen, I covered Bart as a newspaper man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, listen, I'm old, but I'm not ancient. You're not. You know. Starr was a heck of a quarterback. Great guy to be around. And everybody remembers the Frozen Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. And I was up there as a newspaper man for the Chicago American. Down on the field at Lambeau before the game, and Lombardi was out there ranting and raving and raging. And, Coach, what's wrong? General Electric said they'd keep this field thawed out if I allowed them to come here and put cables underneath this field. Look at this field. It's frozen. He didn't say a word about the Dallas Cowboys in the game. He was raging about GE. I mean, what a day that was. I'm telling you.
I remember watching a documentary about they said as the shadow crept over the field, you could just see the field freezing.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable.
It just went that bad.
You guys all remember the late Red Smith, one of the greatest sports writers of all time. He came late, had to park about 2.5 miles away. When he came up, I thought we were going to need a medic to treat him when he finally got up to the press box. We had to scrape the ice off on the inside so that we could see the field. Those of us who were in the press box. I went out to say hello to Frank Gifford. He was one of the announcers, and his coffee had frozen there on the ledge. And I've never been around frozen coffee except that day. It was unbelievable. However, the Cowboys, remember Bob Hayes, a great sprinter, who was a wide receiver for the Cowboys. He had a giveaway. You know, those hand warmers that the players still wear to this day. He would come to the line of scrimmage, and if his hands went inside the warmers, he was not the primary target. And the Packers and Lombardi had a read on that defensively. They would then rotate over to the other side. To the other, it was lots of things went on in that game. It was great.
And then you were one of the reporters around Joe Namath, Super Bowl III in Miami, poolside, when he guaranteed a win.
Oh yeah, so
we can see you in the picture.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. There's no doubt you were there. You're sitting right there with Joe.
If I'd have saved those Converse, I could have sold them for hundreds of thousands. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so we drive up to, they were staying in Lauderdale. The Chiefs were staying up in Fort Lauderdale. We walk in the hotel, we ask one of the bellmen, they were bellmen back in those days, said, you know, are there any Jet coaches or players around? And the guy looked at him and said, listen, the quarterback for that team, Namath, is right out back in a lounge chair. And we walked out, there he was, signing autographs for people, chatting. Could not have been more comfortable, more pleasant. And we spent about 45 minutes with him out there and talked to him about the game. And just like he had said at the country club the night before, you know, I guarantee we're going to beat these guys. He said it, you know, it came out a little bit as braggadocio by some people. It was more matter of fact when you were around him. I heard him say it that night when he accepted the honor and heard him say it again at poolside in that picture that you guys all see. By the way, That fellow with the newspaper over his head, because I was Cy Burick, late Cy Burick. He's from Dayton, Ohio. Jerry Green, also from Ohio, was there. Cleveland. Chuck Eaton, who had covered the Browns. They're all in that picture. So
Ohio was well represented.
Yeah, they were. They were very well represented. And they were great reporters. Great reporters in Ohio. Believe me, I used to be around them a long time. It's the only picture in my life I've ever had an athlete autograph. And, so I've got one at home with Joe's autograph on it. Yeah, it was a great day.
You know, everybody has a pregame show now, but you and Phyllis and Irv and Jimmy were the template for what everybody is doing now with NFL Today on CBS. You guys were the first ones to do an hour with features and interviews and breakdowns and going around the league, all of that stuff. You were appointment TV. When I was a kid, at noon on Sunday during the football season, CBS was the pregame show you were going to watch.
Yeah, we were the only pregame show that brought you a fistfight in a saloon in New York one day, too. we were groundbreakers. Oh, damn right.
And Brent, that's where the infamous catchphrase came from, right? Where, I mean, that's I don't want to say what you're known for. You're known for so many things, but you are looking live. You were hitting to the boys in the desert a little bit. Here's some weather, right?
Yeah. We had a director by the name of Bob Fishman, and his father had a bookie, and he loved to bet football, and he had a couple of friends that bet it. And so Fish came into a meeting one day, and he said, Brent, my father wants to know if we can give a weather forecast for the games because his friend likes to bet over-unders. I said, listen, we have enough time to do that. But I tell you what, I said, Bobby, can you give me a live shot of a stadium I said, yeah, we can try. So I think we started with Soldier Field in Chicago. You are looking like a hellacious day in late fall in Chicago. And so I'm sure he jumped all over the under, and and we went from there. And we did, then when we'd use two and three. I was good friends with Roselle. He was an old buddy. I never told him that's how we came to You Are Looking Live. He said, oh, Brent, I love it. You show those stadium gap feet. It's just,
but you were pretty slick about it. You would say you're looking live at Soldier Field where the Green Bay Packers are getting ready to take on the whatever 2-3 Bears, and Walter Payton.
Yeah, we had it all scripted.
But you could see it's a sunny day in Chicago. Yeah, Walter's going to go for a few extra yards today.
Yeah, and I think the biggest moneymaker that we had, though, we had a deluge down in Tampa in early fall. It got hit, and we showed that. And Fish's father called me and said, "Oh, Brent, thanks so much for showing that weather."
Is that the game where the stairs in Tampa looked like a waterfall?
Yes. The water was just pouring down to the side, and it was only a few thousand fans in the stands. It was a guaranteed lock. What do we got for the 160 and the one? Oh, North Carolina State and Purdue only 146.5. Oh, I may have to bet that one over.
Got distracted right there.
Yeah. Like to keep you guys up to date, and Iowa is still -3.5 now. Money's coming in on Caitlin Clark. I might bet. Don't tell anybody. I may bet against her on that. If that thing goes to 4, I'm off on UConn. To win. Okay, guys.
You've covered so many things in sports. You have, I don't want to bore you with going through it. What is one of your favorite memories? I don't know if you have one or 10 of the things that you've covered or the things you've done or the people you've talked to.
Well, I tell you, one of my favorites, I was doing the CBS Sports Spectacular, and we were the first television group to take an American truck into the old Soviet Union, and we drove into Czechoslovakia. Now, I flew in ahead of the truck, but they had trouble at the border. But finally, they were able to bust through on the Soviet guards. It was in Minsk. And the reason why we went in is that Valery Borzov had won the 100-meter in the Olympics, okay? And a kid by the name of Williams out of California, I can't remember his first name on it, but anyway, he could not compete. He was injured in the Olympics. And we all felt, listen, we can win this. Now, people don't understand. Back in that day, I mean, there was an intense rivalry between the Soviet Union athletes and the United States athletes. I mean, it was colder than the war. So we went into Minsk, and Williams and Borzov were booked for the 100 and the 200. We were taping the show, and it was going to be back on a Saturday afternoon. We competed with Wide World Sports. Borzov scratched from the 100, so we knew we wanted no part of Williams, wanted no part of him in the 100. So in the 200-meter, I'll still remember Borzov got up to a great start, came around the turn, and he had a little bit of a lead, and then Williams blew up on that final 70 meters, and he just blew past Valery Borzov. Might have been the last time that Valery Borzov ever raced competitively in a big-time race. And we were each assigned, they had agents watching us wherever we went. I'll never forget the hotel we stayed in on each floor. You turned your key in when you went. They turned the hot water off at 11 o'clock. They had a curfew on us. So, and then the Soviet Union, and then we took a train back to Moscow before we flew out. So that was one adventure that I'll never, ever forget.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Have you been back to Russia since?
Yes, once.
Really?
Went to St. Petersburg on a golf tour on a cruise ship that went in there. And toured through there, and that's the only time. And I'm not looking. I would not go back to Moscow again. Certainly not now, obviously, with the conflict going on.
Right.
But the St. Petersburg story was unbelievable. It had nothing to do with sports, but the art was saved in St. Petersburg during the Second World War. The Nazis were infamous for stealing art when they raged through the country. But the museum in St. Petersburg sent all their art to Siberia. And they had it inside the mines down there, and the Nazis never found it. So the art was back where it was. It was a fascinating city. The Nazis surrounded St. Petersburg and shelled it for months, and they still were not able to get a surrender out of it. It was a wonderful, wonderful historical city back in there. But that's the last time that I've been back. I've covered a lot of their athletes. I mean, you know, the Ukrainians and people like that have come over, played basketball, some other sports. There's some great athletes that have come out of the old Soviet Union, believe me. Sabonis, his father, one of the great basketball players that I ever covered.
Well, Brent, you got you gave those guys a little Packer story, so I got to ask, because I've never asked you this before. The Notre Dame Miami game, Catholics versus convicts. I gotta get a story from you, because you infamously in the pregame shot, you pulled out the T-shirt right during the live shot.
Here it is. So I'm walking into the stadium. We're all looking forward to the game, and a young man comes up. I didn't realize he was playing basketball. I think he got kicked off the team because of it. It was his T-shirt company. He handed me one, and that's the one I showed. But we taped the opening, okay, and we were all set to go, and I got a call from the truck. Brent, there's a problem. There's been a fight in the tunnel. I said, well, we'll go live. So we went live and talked about it was the last time that Notre Dame ever allowed the two teams to come out at the same time out of that tunnel. They've got guards back in there now, and they go one at a time coming out of there. But that was one of the great, great college football games that I ever covered. The Catholics, I've still got that T-shirt somewhere in a box in Montana. I got to get that out. Maybe I'll wear that at precinct, guys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we need to do a live shot with Brent on my show with wearing the old Catholics versus comedy.
Yeah, that's
got the old story with the Notre Dame players. Brent said that Lou Holtz walked into the locker room and said, leave Jimmy Johnson for me, and apparently they just went nuts.
That's a great Holtz line, and that sounds like Lou. He's always coming up with great lines, I'll tell you that. What a character. All right, guys, been great talking to you.
Thanks, Brent.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks for
all right. You got it. Let me see. No change on the board. Still 11 and a half. Take care, lads.
All right. Brent Musburger.